The foot is on Triple M. The weekend is here.
Oh, look it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Hub.
The Diamond Day sale has been extended. See your local Mitsubishi dealer today.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
And so we come to the final round of the season, and what a round it is lining up to be. It kicks off tonight at the MCG with traditional rivals Collingwood and Essendon going head-to-head. A lot of guests coming your way. The Crisper, Jack Crisp, to join us at 20 past 6 local time. A man been in the news for his coaching abilities, Ben Rutten, to join us. And a very special guest to talk about an Essendon debutant. As well as that, all the regulars, Judge Juddy is in the house, the top five, etc. And the boys are assembled and ready to go. A lot of footy to talk about tonight, and I say good evening to you, Luke Darcy.
Big tonight, Howard. This is as good as it gets on a Friday night. 85,000 around that in the house. And so great to just get excited about football heading into the finals and to focus on footy tonight. Seems like a good idea. Very excited to be here.
My word, Judge Juddy is in the house. Hello, Judge.
Howard, great to see you. Apologies for getting up a little bit late before. I was downstairs taking quite a few selfies and doing some autographs with some fans, Howard. So just...
Oh, were you now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice for you to spread the love. Chris, hello to you. Nathan Brown?
Yeah, great to be here, Howard. A little bit distracted by Damo's shirt. It's a 70s-style Studio 54 number and got love hearts all over it. And he's got a couple of buttons undone, Damo, showing some chest off, and I'm just a bit distracted by it.
I hadn't noticed until you brought that up. But
have a look at it.
Did you toy with doing that other button up, Damo? You look like a like Lebanese gangster.
He's done it up.
Love hearts on it. Like Love Machine.
Is this one that Janine picked out for you, Damo?
No, I do my own wardrobe shopping. Thank you.
And how are you, Damo?
I'm well, thank you, Howard. Interesting week, wasn't it? With another coach going and another couple of other coaches going into this final round, still absolutely uncertain about whether they're there next year. It's a different landscape in the AFL when it comes to coaches this year.
We'll get an update from you on Ross Lyon. We were scratching around at the start of the day, Darcy. We had nothing. We're not to normally have a bit of a joke off the top. We had a bit of a group meeting. We had absolutely nothing. And then... really late in the day. Really late in the day.
Was there a group meeting? Was there?
I think they call it...
I think my phone must be not working at the moment because...
I think it's called manna from heaven and it fell our way, Nathan.
Well, we like to consider ourselves an entertainment program from 6 till about 7.45 before the footy starts.
It's a bold claim for those who've listened all year.
Don't talk a lot of footy, as you'd know. And we like to create our own humour and our own content. And we're a little bit short this week. We're a little bit short this week. But all of a sudden... some humour created itself. And we all got sent an email.
My phone must be not working.
It popped the email.
Really?
It was a male model modelling some fine middle-aged men type of stuff. Now, I think of if I wanted somebody to model my stuff in this country, I go straight to the Hemsworth brothers. I go to Hugh Jackman. I go to the A-listers. Yes. If it was footy-related, I go to the judge. He's a two-time Brownlow medalist. He does everything. There's players who just scrape by and get done and, you know, they pick up the crumbs and like a radio jock or you know, somebody who's in a best-looking competition like a Kyle Sandilands or a Ray Hadley or these guys. And then it came to me that I opened up this and it was brilliant. It was the Duke modelling for Lululemon.
Oh, no.
Is that out and about for Father's Day, which I'm sure the Triple M family will get behind?
Reeks of cost-cutting for Lululemon. It's his good cyber jacket.
It's in direct competition to what you do, Joe. Well,
it's a slap in the face. I hope Lulu have a nice marquee at the Portsy Polo.
Being cool and young.
To quote Juddy, the data's changed for his brand. They're on the way out.
Well, I did some digging.
You can go to Instagram, Triple M Footy, the story. You can see the photo of his man exploiting his children as well.
It's extraordinary.
As the host of the House of Wellness.
I thought it was Croft.
Very much on brand. Very much on brand. And they're a fantastic
exploitation
group down there.
For money.
Nate's got plenty to go with. But just when you were asked to do this photo shoot. How quickly did the Friday huddle form in your mind?
Yeah, pretty quickly. I warned the team that this was always going to come. I wasn't aware this quickly. Very, very much with me. This is very much on brand for me.
We encourage you to go out and have a look at the Duke. But I went and I dug deep and I wanted to find actually why he did it. And I found the ad that they put on Seek.
That Lululemon put out there.
There was a notice put on Seek and it said, looking for a tall, uncoordinated middle-aged man. A successful applicant doesn't need to be in career best shape, but have an acceptable base of fitness appearance. Being uncomfortable in front of the camera is a positive, and looks from the shoulders up are not a priority.
That was it, Nate, wasn't it?
Very good.
Very nice.
good, Brody.
I'll have to pay that. Get down there for Father's Day. You'll be very happy in some Lululemon activewear.
What's happened to you, though, Dust? What has happened to you this year?
Well, I'm just morphing into the House of Wellness has happened. You can head up to Sukhavati, Bali. We'll have lots of Lululemon available up there. I'm very, very comfortable in this
place. At what point, like, Judge obviously crossed it as soon as his children were born, but at what point did you think it was fair enough to start exploiting your children in a marketing campaign?
I can actually tell you the conversation that happened, because I was away mid-year and I was in Bali, and a message came through and said exactly that. Would you like to for Father's Day? And that would normally be deleted. But I was sitting next to my 14-year-old daughter. She said, why would you not do that?
Are you going to blame your daughter now?
No. She's part of the shoot. You can see her in all Lululemon stores Australia-wide as we sit here tonight. But I knew that this was quite possibly something that we'd discuss. I think you'll go to the website. I think I'll get some good feedback, as always, from the people out there. I think the Triple M family will be pretty kind.
Judge, what I would ask, and I know that Beck will tell us the truth, was the commission split amongst you and the kids, or is some
you're
of
you're assuming that there was a transaction, Nate. Now I do a lot of passion projects. I do a lot of. So that's what I find about you. You go straight
tell me
to
the
bottom line. They might get a couple of pairs of activewear pants or some fine product too. I've been getting
Judge,
it in
you've
weeks.
Seen the photos. You've done this for a long time yourself, advertising yourself and your wife in active gear.
And your kids.
How have you viewed the whole shoot? And obviously, it's a real competition for you and Jagged.
We got the whole company together at Jagged when this launched, because this was just a gift from God for us. I mean, sales are going to go through the roof for us. And, Duke said he wasn't paid by Lulu. Jagged's actually happy to pay him to keep doing it. That's the sort of impact. It's transformed our business, and it was a celebration, and we can't thank Lulu enough, to be honest.
This is going to be an active wear war. And that might be a shot across the bow. It was a pretty good shot. The team, we'll be meditating on that now at Lululemon, I promise you.
And how did you shoot? How long did the shoot go?
It was a good afternoon.
Right.
It was at a beautiful location in Collingwood, and a fantastic house, actually. And good day. Dennis the dog was involved. Right. It was a fine afternoon. Very good people down there.
Are we likely to see any photos of you in tights without shorts on top?
Absolutely. Well, that'll be
season 2. I don't have a problem with that either, in fairness.
No, that's you've got to get that out there.
Equality works both ways, Howard.
That's right.
Okay. We've given up a bit. Now it's time for us to get one back. You know, women are allowed to wander around in tights and nothing else. I think it's high time we get ours out and about too, Duke.
That's right. We might do a collaboration, maybe, Jaddy and I. We're coming back.
All right. Now you can see it at Triple M Footy. Let us know, as you always do, with some real positive feedback about Luke's moving into the modelling world.
And if you're thinking Father's Day, it's a great chance for you to head down there to catch up with the team. I'm telling you, it's a great product.
All right, Damo. News. Nick Natanui, where's he at?
He's going to have this chance, Howie, to provide he gets through training going into that first week of finals to actually play for the Eagles in the finals. It was some doubt, as we know, for some time ago when he went down with the ankle on his third game back after his knee reconstruction problems. But they had this time frame around, as I just mentioned, to give him every chance. And as it's tracking, he's going to be given that chance, which I reckon is a genuinely good story, obviously for him. And it's a bad one for the other seven clubs in the finals, if they can get him through a final series, which in their eyes will hopefully, for their case, be three matches.
Ross Lyon, did you see it coming?
I didn't see it coming during the week. And it was executed, as far as a business plan goes, very, very soundly by the Dockers. They met on the Sunday, which came after the Saturday night loss to Essendon, and decided to make the decision there and then. And then got their ducks lined up from a strategy and public selling point of view the next day. And on the Tuesday, just went bang. And when you asked the question, do we see it coming? I think there was a feeling that there would have been a thorough review, Dars, post-season, that being after this particular round, but not in the week leading into round 23. And I still thought he was going to survive the review, just simply because of the big money attached to the contract that he's got for next year, which I do believe is a seven-figure number, which will need, or thereabouts, give or take a bit, which will need to be accommodated into this soft cap for next year.
It's a remarkable industry, Juddy, and Brent, I ask you two guys, you look at Ross Lyon, ball bounces the other way, Stephen Milne kicks a goal, he's regarded as a legend at the St Kilda Football Club. He's got to a grand final. I mean, the Fremantle story first up, you know, they lost by 14 points, but so many inaccurate shots. He wins a premiership at Fremantle. Like, you're just a half a millimetre either way, and he's an immortal in our industry. Mm. And now all of a sudden, because his style is not in vogue with what we want to get, you know, loving and, you know, connected, vulnerable coaches. He's completely out the door. It's remarkable, isn't it, in some ways?
It does turn very quickly, doesn't it? And it doesn't feel like you always get a lot of credit for what you've done in the past. And I wonder, too, if the new caretaker coaches coming in and being sort of younger type guys, do you think that sort of worked against him as well?
Yeah, the negativity. And look, the Dockers, I thought Dale Alcock, the president of the club, explained it really well publicly, Brownie. And I thought he went deeper than he probably needed to. And clearly there were issues with crowds. There were clearly issues with image within the club. And the common theme now is the supporters and the fans and the members are actually having a say in decision making. I think that's not the right thing, but in the landscape in which we've seen this year, Juddy, to your question, yes, it's an add-on to what's happened at your club, to North Melbourne, and also St Kilda.
So the complete opposite to what's happening in US sports, isn't it? When you look, or even EPL, you look at EPL, there's managers and that managing there who are well into their 50s and 60s and still getting jobs.
NFL
also
too.
In the NFL and Major League Baseball, we seem to be the only sport in the world that is putting out, I guess, the guys like a Ross Lyon or a Mick Malthouse or these type of guys to get in the young, fresh coaches.
I think there'll be a change, Brown, at some point. I look at, I look at Chris Fagan. It looks like he's sitting at a level and empowering guys underneath him to run training, and he's relationship-based and using his skill set. It seems almost too big for one person these days. The amount of pressure that comes on at the moment is almost unbearable for a coach. John Worsfold's still in the gun. Leon Cameron's been put in the gun in recent times. Luke Beveridge 6 months ago. There will be a role for a Ross Lyon, you know, to sit above a David Teague and use the sort of energy of a David Teague. He's got too much skill to not...
Too much footy IQ.
You would think so.
I agree with what you're saying there, Dust, but when it comes to the specifics of Ross Lyon, he has left a carnage behind him. And that's just stating a fact. That's not a judgment. It's as much as Nick Riewoldt and Nick Del Sando and Joe Montagna and Brendan Goddard talk him up about being someone that the Saints should now look at, there's another three people who don't talk so kindly about him. So he won't be going back to the Saints on that specific. And I don't see him, Dust, and unless he can change almost overnight, and he doesn't like doing that, being one of those mentor type of people that footy clubs are now seeking, I think he has to be the main man on every occasion. And of course, you can't rule him out in the future right now from being another coach again. But I don't see that
total reset of football, not a mentor, but a total reset. We almost have a manager, have tactical coaches, and change the whole system.
I don't see Ross Lyon fitting
there. Yeah, well, at some point, I think clubs will actually wise up that the current system is just not sustainable. I think there will be a change at some point.
Damo, what else is happening in the world of footy? Alan Richardson has made a decision as to where he's going to continue.
Yeah, he'll be at Melbourne to work very closely with Simon Goodwin. The vacancy was created by the decision to move out of the club, Brendan McCartney. So it'll be that type of role that McCartney played. But obviously, Alan just coming out of the St Kilda system only a month ago officially. And he wasn't short of job options for next year in that role that Das was talking about in the first segment there. The one to sit alongside the coach. And I see him fitting that role more so than a Ross Lyon, for what it's worth, just the way he's wired and the way now that he's going to support Simon. And he's chosen Simon Goodwin and Melbourne over North Melbourne and Reece Shaw for reasons that are best explained by him. But there was a bidding war for him, and he chose Melbourne.
Good luck to Alan Richardson going to Melbourne. I think the Crisper is down on the boundary. One of my favourites, Jack Crisp, joins us from the Collingwood Footy Club. Hello to you, Jack.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Hey, I'm not sure if you're a massive footy fan away from the game, but for all of us up here and at the crowd tonight, there's just so many combinations and permutations what can happen. It kicks off tonight. As players, do you keep a bit of an eye on where and how and when? Obviously, you've got to win, but there's so many great games lined up, Crisper.
Yeah, no, there definitely is. A few of us have, I guess. Oh, you can't help but not look at the fixtures for the last two rounds in particular, but we're just going to focus on getting our job done tonight, and then obviously whatever happens, happens.
The fact you could go into the final series this year, different to last year with an elimination final over your head, I suppose it's just something you just got to get through tonight and then see as the weekend unfolds what happens, Jack?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. We're in a similar position as we were last year. I think same win-loss ratio, but obviously with the competition a bit tighter at the top this year, it could force us to start fifth. But you know, we've already built a bit of momentum this last 3 weeks, and we'll be looking to finish off the season with a nice four-quarter performance again tonight.
Did you feel you've got as much chance this time last year, even if it does come from the bottom half of the top eight, given that you know that your best is good enough to make a grand final and nearly win it? Obviously, you had the luxury of a qualifying final situation last year, but do you personally, now that you've been around as long as you have, feel that you're as well equipped?
Yeah, definitely do. Like last year, we went to the finals with about five players that had played finals in the team. So this year, we'll have, you know, maybe 80% if we're lucky. But we've put our best foot forward as we can this year. Obviously, we've had a bit of a form lapse in after the bye, but we feel like this last month, we've kind of regrouped, and we've given ourselves the best opportunity coming into finals that we'll give ourselves. So we can't wait, and especially getting a few players back, it should really help.
Talking about players, we are speaking to Jack Crisp. Damo, you've got a massive late out.
Yeah, it is for the Bombers. Carl Hooker is out of the 22, and Michael Hartley has come in.
That is massive. Crisp, now, you've been at Collingwood for several years now, but your former club, Brisbane Lions, have been in the doldrums for a long time. They're going to play finals for the first time in a long time. Have you spoken to any of the old teammates?
No, I haven't actually spoken to any of them, but I really like what they're doing now. It's finally good to see them get some reward for all the effort they're putting in. You know, they're riding that big wave that we did last year, so it'll be interesting to see how far they go. Like, they have got the talent to go all the way, but hopefully we go further than that. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Hey, Chris, you're on a great run. As Brownie said, when you came across to Collingwood in 2013 from Brisbane, you haven't missed a game since joining the Magpies in all that time. What do you put that run down to? Is there a bit of good luck or good management?
Yeah, I'll say a little bit to mum and dad's genes, and then maybe the other 50% would probably be good management as well. And then it does help with the...
Oh, we just lost the Crisp for a moment.
Yeah.
He's back.
And also the football staff, you know, we're put in hard blocks of work, but then they're really good communication and, you know, friendships with everyone there. They're able to have those good quality conversations and rest you when you need. So making sure we're getting tip-top shape for each week.
You speak about your lack of injuries at Crispy. You're also in career-best form. Is there anything you've done differently this season, or has it just been the culmination of lots of seasons put together?
I reckon it's a little bit of both. Like, when J-Lo came here, Justin Longmuir came to coach backs last year, we developed a pretty close relationship, so I've done a fair bit of work with him. I feel like my game's progressed a lot from all the work I've done with him. But also, yeah, just years in the system also helps. Being confident and, you know, being able to bring a lot of energy to the group and feel happy around the culture and environment that you're in. So I feel like this year's been really well. And then, yeah, I have my little girls that helps me switch off when I get home. So I guess that's another way to mentally look at the side of things.
Has Justin Longmuir involved you in discussions around what he may be doing next year, Jack, with Fremantle?
Yeah, no, I haven't asked about it. Buddha Hocking made a nice little gag about it the other day for our team meeting. He just brought in a bag and said, "Hey, Longy, you want me to help you pack?" And everyone had a good laugh about that. But, wish him all the best if that's the case. But at the moment, yeah, we're focused on the finals.
You feel he's ready if it was to come up? I know you've got more pressing concerns tonight, but do you feel what you've seen out of him and working closely with him that he's right to go?
Yeah, 100%. You know, he talks to the group really well. He's got all those really nice relationships, and he's got a really good footy brain, so he'll be able to get those messages across really well. And I think everybody will be able to listen to him and take in what he has to say.
Jack, before we let you go, Steel Sidebottom, obviously a nasty injury during the week. He won't be playing tonight. Were you there? What happened to the poor man?
Hang on, sorry, did you just ask if I saw it?
Yeah, what happened to Steel?
I didn't see it per se, but I saw him when we came in after that exercise, and he was just he looked all dazed and was out of it. He just looked like he was about to be sick. And then he just kind of limped off a little bit. And then after training, when I saw him, he was just laying on the bed staring at the roof, just saying, I'm in too much pain, I can't do anything. And then, it turns out he had to get surgery.
All right, well, hopefully he's up and about soon, Jack. Yeah. We appreciate your time. Best of luck to you on the Pies tonight.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nice to speak to Jack. Chris, there's a bit of that going around. What happened?
Nothing funny about sore plums.
Oh, mate, that's two ruptured testicles this year in the last 6 weeks. Why are you laughing? There's nothing funny
there's
at
nothing
all
funny
about
it, Nathan. No,
you're a sicko. It's
yeah, real nasty stuff. So how long are we expecting?
Just the way you said it.
How long are we expecting Steel Sidebottom to be out there, Damo?
Look, they're hopefully is ready for the first final, Howie. So obviously not missing tonight. The week off next week assists that potential cause.
Scotty Thompson came back in a week.
One week. He missed 1 week. And incredibly came back and played well, as we saw.
I'm not sure if you're aware of the headline in the Shepparton Times where your men steal side bottoms from. Rusty, which is what they call him. Rusty, a bit dusty after busting nut at training, is what they roll with in Shepparton. So hopefully, as you said, Nathan, it
Brownie,
wasn't a laughing
stop
matter.
Well,
you're laughing.
I'm not laughing.
You are laughing.
I laughed at the headline.
Hey, a big day for the Sunday team.
It is, Howie.
Club Sunday team, yes. Because Wayne Swass, after a long and storied career calling football at the highest level at Fox, at Triple M, across a couple of the AM stations, is calling his last game of football.
So, 17 years, the great Swatter has been part of the industry, and he's a ripper Swatter. He's an unbelievable player, premiership player, and multiple best and fairest winner at North Melbourne and the Sydney Swans. And what he does with Pucker Up is incredible. So I believe he's going to put some more time and attention onto that. So well done to Swatter.
So tune in Sunday, a nice big send-off. But from what I've been told,
as an industry, we do tend to move on pretty quickly.
Well, we do. And I've been told that as soon as Swatter announced it to Triple M, within 5 minutes,
there was a
word leaked out.
Flurry of phone calls.
And someone in this box hit up the boss of Triple M Football saying, I've done the hard work.
Never been more ready.
I left and went to 3AW. I've come back here. I'm limited in special comments and I'm ready to dominate Sunday.
I'm calling the house down on a Saturday
that
night.
That is what I've heard.
And feed the kids out.
And it's our man.
Feed the kids when you got four of them.
So you put the application in. How is it met by management? It's a big slot Sunday.
I think they came to me, Howard.
No, that's not the way I heard it.
It's going to be a big off-season, Howard.
Is it?
Yes.
So if you were sitting down with Fitzy and Ewan and the boys now and trying to say why you should be calling on the Sunday.
Straight to Grant Blackley.
Grant Blackley
material. Right on top Brownie. That's where he deals with. CEO
with
level.
With his sort of Pridham experience, I don't think he's really
at that level.
No. So you're selling, Nathan. How are you selling yourself as the man to take over from Swatter?
They can just play back any Saturday night this year. It's been comprehensive. The ratings have been outstanding. And let's get the judge chatting.
Do you think he's the man for the job or not?
Look, you've got to sing when you're winning. And Nate's definitely winning at the minute. It would make a lot of sense to put him in on the Sunday afternoon.
Juddy likes to follow the data, and the data's good, apparently. So all roads lead to our man, Nate.
His situation, Howard, has been described to me as like Brett Ratton's at St Kilda. It's his to lose. Oh.
See, and that concerns because there's a long way between now and round one of the season.
There's a lot of time for a blowout. Between now and then.
You've spent a lot of time with him as a young man. It's Saturday night's not such a big listening audience. Would you advise Triple M that this is the man for the big Sunday audience?
I buy shares in Nate. He's come off a low base, I'll be honest with you. I go back to him as an 18-year-old and I wouldn't have thought he'd still be with us, literally on the planet, let alone with us in the media. So, look, it's the graph's going the right way.
Christine's been good. Oh, it has been good. Now, I've been told that this Judge Juddy, it's a bit on edge, isn't it?
Well,
it's
not edgy at all. He'll find out now what he's time for.
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
Right, Judge.
Now, not edgy at all, this, Howard. Okay, and I'm offended by that.
Okay.
Well, I've been told not to laugh.
Well, Triple M have a policy we don't dump. So I know it'll get to air. And I'd appreciate it if you'd like supported me in
poor old Israel last week. It'd
be fair to say that policy with our UFC man last week was broken a few times.
It was like someone jumped on a grenade in the back row up here.
Oh, gee.
Anyway, I'll get into it. Best on ground votes.
We learned.
Actually go to the very man we were just talking about, our very own Nath Brown.
Yes.
Who I feel he was humiliated during the week.
Really?
And belittled.
Oh.
And I took personal umbrage to it, Duke. Personal offence.
How?
We know that Pacific Star Network, our rival company, the owners of SEN, bought Precision Talent Management during the week, Liam Pickering's business, and they go through the announcement listed on the ASX. Duke, Precision's talent includes Gary Ablett Jr., Jack Revolt, Darcy Moore, Jordan Lewis, Josh Dunkley, Dane Swan, Isaac Smith, Jacob Wiedering, John Longmire and David Teague.
It's a big stable, that. Makes sense, the acquisition.
Before it goes on to say Bravo, the subsidiary of Pacific Star Network, Bravo similarly represents some of the most recognisable names in Australian television and radio. Bravo's talent includes Shane Crawford, Merv Hughes, Scott Cam, Shayna Blaze and Jamie Dury. Among many others.
Big deep talent.
Shane
Blaze. Yes, wasn't aware of a...
Our Nate Brown is one of those very many others.
Oh, no.
The man that It's widely regarded in the industry as playing the best 10 games of football ever played.
Yes.
In a row.
The man now dominating on Friday and Saturday nights, soon potentially be Sunday afternoon as well, didn't make that list of top Bravo talent.
I did not know. That's news to me. That's 15% they get right now. Might be able to shove up their clacker.
That's a slap in the face of the highest order there. So, who's responsible? Who do I want to know?
Christianopoulos. Christianopoulos is running Bravo talent.
So he would have written the announcement. He would have written it, and he's left out.
Being read by investors all around Australia.
Can I just say, if I'm putting an announcement through the ASX, I'm not putting
Nathan. Oh,
going with it.
That's one of our own.
He's trying to assert Sunday afternoon dominance here. He knows that he's getting pushed around on the Friday. He wants Nate to know there's a new sheriff in town if you come and work on Sunday afternoon.
I just think it's like those shares you buy, a bit unpredictable if you start putting Nate on the ASX.
I'm upset by that.
All right.
Very upset by
that. Worst on ground votes, Howard. One vote goes to the New Zealand Speaker, Trevor Mallard.
Oh, yes.
Who on Wednesday babysat a fellow MP, Tamati Coffey's newborn. Now he's feeding it with a bottle, and this is how it starts, Duke. It starts with a newborn. Before you know it, you've got bring your pets to work day.
Is this a bit we need to dump?
No. This is all above board. And before you know it, you've got wear your favourite Snuggie to the office, Purple. And it puts pressure on all of us, to be honest. I don't like to make this segment all about me, Duke. But
don't you?
So I've got four kids at home. From time to time, Beck says, can you take one of the twins into Judd Corp for the day? And of course I can't, because I'm doing such important work. When she says, she's the NZ Speaker, Trevor Mallard, nursing a newborn in the New Zealand Parliament, it's put pressure on the whole system. So that's the one vote. Two votes this week goes to the Assistant Commissioner of Victoria Police, Brett Guerin, who stepped down earlier this year and is currently going through a court case due to racist comments that were exposed online under his online pseudonym, Vernon Demarest. Now, Brett said that these words didn't reflect his own views, Duke, okay, and he was just channeling characters from books that he'd read, which had a familiarity to it, Duke. It reminded me of Howard, who once claimed that his appalling behaviour at the Fran Football Club was merely a case of him method acting for a part in a miniseries where he was playing a gangster that owned a strip club. And I just refuse to buy into any of these excuses. So they get the two votes. Three votes this week go to Newsweek, which is a website that produces serious news content. And I don't like it. I like it when they have a headline that starts with a question, Howard.
Yes.
And the question that they started this particular article with is cannibalism is found throughout the animal kingdom. So why is it the ultimate taboo for humans? This is a legitimate article. And it actually came across my desk, some of the future articles they're working on, Duke.
Oh, yes.
And one of the headlines was, some birds defecate on themselves to stay cool. Why hasn't it taken off with adult humans? And another article. Is that dogs sniff each other's bums when they meet? Is it time we replace the handshake, Duke? So Newsweek, for some of their work, that is an actual headline, that cannibalism one, Howard.
I believe it.
And and they get the three votes. And what has been another very successful edition of the Justin where I'm sitting, Duke.
It's a feminine silence around the
box. We don't know what to do.
Oh, I loved it. Oh, it was one of his best editions. Fair to say you rocked Howard back on his chair.
Howard doesn't look overly happy down there.
I didn't get that one. Can you explain that?
It's an untold story, that one.
Oh. Working on a timeline.
I knew that our producer was offended by one of those. I can't figure out which one it was. Because it could have been any of four or five.
Study at his best.
What do you do during the week? You fight all this stuff?
Just come up with this stuff. It's a busy program, Duke.
Yes, successful program.
A lot of time's opened up since we appointed the coach, to be honest.
I think we should take a break here.
I'm still trying to figure out why I give away 15% after that.
Damo, before we get to Ben Rutten, what's happening in the player transfer and trade market at the moment? Cornelio seems to be still the headline topper.
Yeah, it is. And as we have done on this show throughout the year, Howie, there's no update to it. He still is yet to make his mind up. And the three clubs that they've been from the outset, being the one he's at, GWS, and the competing interests of Hawthorn and Carlton. No one's got a read on this. He doesn't have a read on it himself. And the longer it plays out, we know what traditionally happens with a player.
Surely he's got a read on it himself, Dame. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
The skimmer's injured and he's making a pretty big career decision, I'd suspect you'd have a pretty firm idea of what's going on, wouldn't you?
I'd agree with that, Das, as a rule. I think the injury actually has, from what I've been told, actually confused him even more. He's had more time to actually contemplate and ponder what's ahead of him. And all we keep saying...
He'll stay. Lock it in, Howie.
Are you going to lock this in? I heard you say this morning.
Putting your name to it, Duke?
Putting my name to it.
You're best mates with the coach, so if you say...
No, I'm not doing that with any insight. I'm doing that with... I understand he's just very, very active and attached to the Western Sydney area. He's a great community leader, great community organiser. I just think he'll stay. I think it get to this point, he's a ripper. Got to keep players at some stage. They can offer him enough to keep him there. I say that with no insight, don't I? I'm barracking for it.
Is the Hawthorn coach getting reasonably involved, Cornelio?
Yeah. That's what he does, isn't he? He is involved, and he's in his head and has been in his head. And Carlton hasn't yet got a line of sight on it properly. But my recollections of players at this time of year, Brownie, when it gets to this stage, there's only two who have then decided to stay, they being Andrew Gaff, and there are extraordinary circumstances around his decision to stay, and Travis Cloke stayed at the same time frame around this.
I reckon Pavlich too, maybe, Purple. I reckon Pavlich got to the end of a season once and then ended up staying at Freo.
It wasn't the fervour that's attached to those two names and clearly the Cornelio one.
Do you reckon Andrew
well.
Gaff had have left if he didn't have that incident?
Possibly.
That changed everything?
Possibly, yeah.
Have you taken him to Noosa yet, Cornelio?
Andrew Gaff?
No, Cornelio.
Have no insight on the Stephen Cornelio situation, Nate Brown.
It really shut down any
I actually genuinely
around
have no
Carl,
idea what he does.
Haven't you?
Just before you go on, Dave, in the break, I was just saying, I'm looking forward to the Friday Huddle next year. And I got four blank looks from four gentlemen in this box. So there's contractual situations in this box that still need to be resolved. I'm concerned that you blokes are thinking about going elsewhere.
I was a little surprised anyone had signed on, Purple. I thought that was the agreement that we all went in as a group.
MasterChef
live
style.
Together, die together. Yeah. That was the tattoo I was going to get on my back.
Sounds like there's one man who's gone rogue who's sort of signing the 6-year sort of deals at the moment around
sort of
town.
6x6.
Has been speaking about blokes' contracts for 10 years. As soon as you ask him about his contract, did he just roll back in his seat?
I didn't like it at all.
Just straight away.
Well, okay, where's your contractual situation?
I won't be broadcasting it to the...
Captain Grumpy.
Hang on.
All right, talk about Stephen Cornelio.
Sorry, Ross Lyon's got a lot up there.
Does Hutchie still do your contracts?
Speaking of other players in contract.
Hang on.
I'm not sure we're ready to move on.
I had a question for you.
Legitimate
what was
question.
It? Does Hutchie still do your contracts for you?
No.
Okay.
Are you expecting to be at Triple M next year?
I'd like to be.
Who does your contracts for you now, Damo?
Combination.
What do you mean a combination?
Depends what
you're so big you got more than one agent.
He's got special guys for special situations.
My man Giannopoulos in there somewhere?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Who else is in the combination?
Well, Damien did get mentioned in the article too, the news release. That's bravo. It's a slap.
Revisit Judge Dee.
Who does the AFL deals?
Another combination, yeah.
Gil.
Are you fully expecting to be at Triple M next year?
Howard, I would like to be at Triple M next year.
Does Janine tick off on your contract?
I don't know. No, she wouldn't know what I
Will you have to sell the muscle car if you're not at Triple M next year?
Now, that's a possibility.
You lost the footy show last year too.
Didn't lose it.
Mm. No. Well, you and Judge did.
Had no interest in being on it, Brownie.
I reckon a lot of people in the football industry just enjoying this conversation.
We're fascinated by it. I think there's more to explore here.
I haven't seen him on the back foot since Jeff Kennedy.
And I've never seen...
I'm actually not on the back foot.
I've never seen anyone negotiating a combination. That's fascinating.
Donald Trump sort of tactic.
Joff Rarch has come off a long run. You are off the back foot.
Is that a power move from...
I think it's a power... He's doing the power triangle right now, actually. We sit here.
Hard to do a power triangle when you've got Love Hearts in your shirt.
They're not Love Hearts. They're just a blue pattern. Do we want to talk about some stuff that might interest our own listeners that might be interested in something?
All right, Damo. I think we've got
one part of the combination. No, I haven't heard any more than Chris Giannopoulos. Who else is in the combination, Damo?
Sure. No, Hutchie's got some fingers in there.
There's no combination. It is Chris Giannopoulos.
I think old mate from Sydney, what's his name, gets involved as well.
Who's old mate?
He looks after a lot of the sort of...
Oh, Max Marks?
Max Marks.
Yes. Yeah. He does his sort of Hollywood-style stuff.
Ben Rutten is joining us now, managed by Max Marks. And Damo, very happy to get off the hook. Good evening to you, Ben. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Firstly, a late out, and it is a big one for you with Cale Hooker out of the side. What's the problem with the big fella, Ben?
Yeah, no, he just had a bit of illness come in today. So, just wasn't able to come up today. So, we move on, and Michael Hartley will come into the team for him.
And you also got Zaharakis out, Heppel, Stringer, and Fantasia from your best 22. How do you guys tackle that? Do you mention it and speak about it with the group, or do you just focus on the players that are out there and the jobs they need to do?
Yeah, look, it's just kind of the reality of footy these days. You know, there's not too many games where you have your absolute best 22 in, but we're bringing in guys that have, apart from Tudjok, who's playing his first game, we're bringing in guys who have shown throughout the season that they can get the job done and play the role we're after. So it's an exciting game for young jockey playing her first game against Collingwood at the MCG on a Friday night. So he's really excited, and the boys always get a bit of enthusiasm out of those first game players.
Truck, you'd have to be happy with the form of Patrick Ambrose this year. I think he's become a really good AFL player. He plays on the bigs, he can play on smalls. He sent him to Nat Fyfe last week and he did a really good job, and he's one of the players that's probably elevated himself this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a critical player for us because of his versatility, but he's, you know, got a single-minded determination to compete really hard. He's, you know, he's not going to be our most skillful player, but, you know, what he brings from an effort point of view, from a whole, teammate point of view, I think the guys just love playing with him.
Very well-regarded assistant coach is the big truck Rutman. Yep. And I've seen a bit of him firsthand as a junior basketball coach. Coaching looked like about an under 10 or 11 boys footy team. Was there a big final on the weekend, Truck? How are you going in both your junior roles at the moment?
Yeah, not too bad. I've got two footy teams and a basketball team on the go. Oh. So Essendon has been part-time job at the moment. But, so we got our under 11 boys down at Camberwell Sharks. They got through straight through to the grand final last week, so it was a good performance. So it's good.
Are you a roll numbers back into the sort of loose man in defence under 11 type of coach
just
or not?
Flooded back the last quarter. And we just get the job done.
It doesn't go well with junior footy when you put a few numbers back. But
you get plenty of advice from the parents.
We're speaking to Ben Rutten on the Friday huddle.
Just on that coaching side of your life now, Ben, you obviously been there for some time and now very well regarded in the AFL system. Other clubs talk you up big time. Do you feel that you're nearly ready to entertain some senior vacancies if they come?
Yeah, look, I'm sort of trying to build myself and best prepare myself if and when that opportunity eventually arises. And, you know, that was kind of part of my decision from leaving Richmond to coming to Essendon, was about, just helping to round me out as a coach and understand a different culture and environment and learn under another really experienced quality coach in Woosher. And that's all part of the deal, really.
How's he going? It's intriguing to watch from the outside, and he's a very private person, obviously. How have you found him this year, Ben, dealing with him?
Yeah, look, I mean, Woosh's biggest strength is, you know, his experience and his ability to just stay so level, you know. It doesn't matter whether we win by 100 points or lose by 100 points. Everyone knows what to expect from him. He's really, keeps everyone accountable for what they're doing, and he doesn't get flustered by the outside noise, and it's such a stable environment to have there. The players can come in, week out, and they know exactly we're focused on what we need to do and the process of performing week to week.
Ben, you mentioned that you're hoping to get a senior job eventually. Do you think there's a risk with the soft cap that some really good assistant coaches get squeezed out because you do have to wait a long time now, and perhaps there's not that same career progression as there was before the soft cap got introduced?
I'm not sure. What do you mean by that?
Well, before the soft cap was introduced, you could have senior assistants. You could pay them twice as much as your average assistant coach and keep them in the AFL system longer. Now with that soft cap, it's harder for clubs to do that. Hence, perhaps more assistants will get squeezed out because of it.
Yeah. Look, it's all part of the juggling act these days. What it has done, I think, is it's put some emphasis on your assistant coaches to keep developing and be the best you can. And they're the coaches that do that are the ones that that hang around. And I think it's I think it's good for the players. I mean, that's effectively what we're there for, is, you know, be servants of the players. And we need to be the best we can be and provide the environment and the ability for them to be the best they can.
Ben, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time and best of luck to you and the Essendon Footy Club tonight.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Ben Rutten from the Bombers. Devastating news out of England that the sun is shining and it's a beautiful day at Headingley.
You're our cricket expert, Howie. What's the likelihood of us salvaging something out of this test?
Now the sun's shining. 10%?
10%.
10%, I fear. Went to bed with Australia at 220 thinking we are about to retain the Ashes.
Mm.
Woke up
eight
here.
8 for 48, they lose
40 and Joffre got the job done.
Who's the Aussie bowler most likely to actually get us back in the game? Cummins?
Pattinson.
Pattinson.
Mm. Really? You're going to blast
after
him
a spell, yeah. I think. But the deck was pretty flat when the clouds sort of dropped off. So if it's a sunny day, they could post 300 plus and we're in.
I know you mentioned feel like you're on the trajectory as the next Richie Benno.
I'm that far off that trajectory.
I feel like you think you are.
No, I think I'm on as much of that trajectory as you has got chance of calling Sunday night on Triple S, to be honest. For you, Nathan. We might get time for a little bit more news before we take a break, and then there's a big top five coming, which should be outstanding.
Who's delivering that to tonight? You've got it, haven't you?
He's very happy with it too, Dust. We asked him just before we came on air, and how's it going? And he said it's very good.
It's brave of him to have another go at it.
After the last two. Yeah,
but when we did come up with this concept, except it was meant to be a humorous type setup. You've had it, there's sort of the outcome.
Howie, there's sort of a time frame attached to it as well. If you're normally under 15 or 20.
Well, my only concern is it's quite long. But apart from that, I think we've got it covered. Damo, news, please.
Melbourne and Gold Coast, respectively 17th and 18th on the ladder, will both be presenting to the AFL Commission when it meets on Tuesday. It's basically a regular appearance from clubs that get the extra fundings from the AFL, but it does also coincide with horrific seasons that they've both endured. And Gold Coast will be doing, as we've now known for some time, submitting to the AFL the request to have a priority pick in the national draft, and they will go in hard. They will go in for the overall number one pick, which will then give them the first two picks. There's going to be a lot of opposition to that from other clubs. They've already voiced that disapproval to the commission before this meeting, but it won't stop Tony Cochran and Mark Evans of the Suns asking for it. And I have a feeling it'll play out publicly after that commission meeting, and then they'll probably settle on a middle of first round type of pick that they'll get, and there'll be something else attached to it, not just a national draft component. But the Melbourne one's interesting because they've fallen away dramatically, as we know, and as we've been talking all year, to come out of a preliminary final last year to all the way down to the bottom of the ladder in 17th place, and already have been reviewing their coaching structures since the midpoint of the season, the bye period. They made some significant personnel changes. They've then, in the past month, decided to announce the movement of Craig Jennings and Brendan McCartney out. We spoke before of Alan Richardson coming in. There'll be some other changes made, but it's been a disaster for the Demons this year.
Dust, where do you sit on the Gold Coast? It's a bit tough to ask Juddy because he's obviously invested in another club and there'll be a party line there. Should the Gold Coast get a compensatory pick?
Look, I'm a bit opposed to that. I think that the equity of the draft going forward, it's so many concessions to so many clubs. We allowed GWS and Gold Coast to come. We had to get them set up, Howie. But effectively, every time you do that, you push Melbourne further down the line, you push St Kilda further down the line, you push a lot of clubs that haven't won a premiership for a long period of time. Brisbane, without assistance in terms of priority picks, have rebuilt their club with great recruiting, smart decision-making and good people. And I think that's what Gold Coast need more than they need another first-round pick. So sometimes it's just an easy cop-out. I'd rather the support structurally, everything you can do to get the right people up there would be the answer for me. Good time of night when the top five rolls around. Howie said, hand it over to me. I've got something very funny, a little bit lengthy maybe, but take it away. Here it is.
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5.
I need your full focus here, Darce. I don't need you eyeing off yours. I need your full focus.
All right, okay, now.
We are obviously in a very competitive industry. You look along here, there's the 7 Network. There's probably 6 different radio boxes. Probably nowhere else in the world, Damo, would so many radio operations cover the same sport and the same event.
Not a lot of competition.
No, it doesn't feel this competitive, does it?
We are privileged to have a nice big audience, and you don't want to ever take your audience for granted. So I am delivering for you tonight the 6 top 5 reasons why you should listen to the Friday Huddle over our competitors.
The six top five
reasons why you should listen.
I like
okay.
it.
All right. Coming in at number six, the other stations do a fantastic job, and we appreciate that. Yeah. But none of them have the same zing and sparkle and entertainment. And the way we start the show is like nothing else. So this is the sixth top five reason why you should listen to the Friday Huddle.
Oh, welcome to Triple M Footy at the Triple M SCG, brought to you by McDonald's. We've got an absolutely huge night tonight. We've got Essendon coming in at 11th place.
Entertainment.
It's good.
Calling the stall gift there.
Entertainment is why you need to listen to this. Now, the fifth reason why you should listen to the Huddle over all our competitors is because, Das, we don't just cover the football. If there are other major events on, we've got premium callers in this box that at the drop of a hat can call other sports.
It's not an issue
like
for us.
Absolute superstars, evidenced by the fifth reason. To take it to a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But talk us through it, Damo.
Okay. Anisimova serves and Barty hits it out to make it juice.
Is that inspiring, Damo?
I'm not sure Wimbledon are going to ring you in a hurry, Damo, to be honest.
It couldn't work out who was at what end. It's a bit like
they look pretty
having
different.
To sell it to SEN then.
I'm not sure.
Currently 1 for 37. That was almost a boundary. So it'll take the total up to a few more than that. Peter Siddle's bowling. Right. Driven down to...
We don't need a full commentary to ask just the score. 5-41. Cover it like nothing else we do
right.
when other sports, yeah, and we'll be all over the Ashes tonight. The number four, top five reason why you should listen to the Friday Huddle over our competitors is because we are always tremendously well-researched, Chris,
yep.
and we interview like no one
Big
else.
Time.
We've got the figures, we've got the facts, we've got the information, and we ask the right questions, Damo, of the right people at the right time.
The pig Greenwood generally goes to Joel and tries to get under his skin. Would you expect him to go to him tonight?
I don't think he's playing.
That'll make it. That'll make it tricky for that to happen.
Nice to be joined by a man that has dominated for so long in the back line for the North Melbourne Footy Club. Unfortunately not playing tonight. His name is Scotty Thompson. We welcome him to the Friday Huddle. Hello to you, Scotty.
Yeah, boys. I'm not sure about not playing tonight, though.
Come on, Howard.
How's your research, Howard? Scotty's
back.
Have
I been a late withdrawal?
Well, Scotty, I thought, to be honest, any man that had what happened to your balls last week, you wouldn't be playing football tonight. I think we're going well at the moment, Nate. What do you reckon? How do you think we're going, Nate?
We're great.
We're coming up to the third reason why you should listen to the Friday Huddle over our competitors. The thing I love about this team, when I was introduced to this team, I realised that we're a very tight unit. And if someone...
Always got each other's back. Yeah. Yeah.
If someone is upset by something in the box, the others realise it immediately.
Circle around them.
Circle of trust.
If something's brought up that makes someone in the box feel uncomfortable, everyone else drops it because we're tight mates.
That's right. Yeah.
That is the number three reason why you should listen to the Friday Huddle.
Nothing malicious about it, Howard.
Stop calling me Howard. All right, I'm going to say it now.
Look, I don't want to say too much, Howard. Thank you, Howard. Without putting in the hard yards, Howard. I'm there next time, Howard.
I've had a good week, Howard.
Howard, I couldn't be going any better at the moment.
Very abnormal life to live at the moment, Howard.
And that's the power of a sex strike, Howard.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Howard, for me.
I'm terrific, Howard.
Billy Brownless is joining us on a Friday night. Hello to you, Bill.
G'day, Howard. Great to be with you on Friday night.
You're
g'day.
Better than that.
Oh, Howard, it's Greg Williams here.
Luke Darcy is here. Hello to you, Dar.
Hello, Howard.
Chris Judd is here.
Howard.
Nathan Brown.
Howard.
Oh, big issues to talk
about.
No, your
name is Howard. That's the special name.
Lord Mayor. Don't start pushing my buttons at this time of the morning. I had a bloke at school pick up call me Howard this morning. Really flattened me right off. The second reason, number two reason, why you should listen to the Friday Huddle over all our competitors is because, Damo, I look along all the radio boxes here and there are some legends of the game who understand this game inside out. But our special comments, sponsored by Cbus, who pay an extraordinary amount of money, Damo, they are better than anyone else's special comments. And that's the number two reason why you should listen to the Friday Huddle, Nath.
The Swans have got... We're about to get the second half underway.
What do you got there, Noodles?
I'm just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
Capable goal kicker, big sexy for a big man. Had a six-goal haul versus Port Adelaide in round 10.
Must have been a big game for Segler. Must have been personal best, those 6 goals back in round 10.
Yep.
Why do I feel like you're leading him somewhere that he shouldn't be going there, Nate?
That man hasn't got something. He hasn't misspoke, has he?
I think it was Gunston.
Righto. The ball heading out towards the wing. We'll have a look at Darcy's notes in a moment. It goes across the line. What do you think? No, let's just see it.
I actually read it wrong. When he had it under Gunston.
Right. So he had it right. That was purely a reading error.
Purely a reading error.
The best special comments in the business. And that's why Seabus shell out Bitcoin every year.
It's an insight you don't get elsewhere.
But the number one reason why you should listen to the Friday Huddle over all our competitors, because the competition is strong. On the Seven Network on a Friday night, you've got Taylor and you've got McAvaney. I look at the box across from me, you've got Anthony Hudson, Jared Waitley. You've got some of the finest callers ever to call in Victoria, ever to call in Australia. Waitley is there, exactly. But none of them have got our secret weapon. The number one caller in football for mine is Luke Darcy. He is the reason you should listen, because he brings this type of stuff to the table.
Ben Reid, he's shinned it forward. It spills to Elliott. Here's another one. Jamie Elliott kicks the goal. Elliott's got two. This game's over, Howie. I've caught it.
You've done Rex.
It's all over.
Sing, sing.
Oh, boy, it's over. Oh, Howie.
Yes,
we can go home now.
Get the boy off, Judge. Get the boy off.
I'm going to go home.
Just before the mid-year break, that was, I think, on reflection.
Well, I had every reason to be confident, mate.
There was lots there.
Yeah. I like how you put yourself into that too. That was
thank good. You. Mm. Yep. They're the reason why you should be listening to us over our competitor. It was better than good.
It was
Judge.
Good.
It was good. It was solid.
Okay.
Let the listeners decide.
All right. It wasn't dumpable like some of the stuff you rolled out later on. I've just been handed the footy record. I always like the pocket profile.
Yes.
Michael Hurley, nickname Bear. Any pre-game superstitions or routines? Lasagna the night before. A player from another team you'd love to play with. Michael Hibbard. How many games do you watch each weekend? Michael Hurley says two. Favourite commentator? Mark Howard. Knows his stuff.
Michael Howard? Who's that? Michael
Hurley.
Jesus. His ego is just out of control, isn't it?
Knows his stuff. Right, you know, it's right there in black and white.
Howie's not aware of the tradition where when people get their player profile, they actually fill in like a bit of a...
take the piss. Wind
someone
really,
up.
Is that what he's
that's
done?
That's how it works, mate.
It did cross my mind. Yeah, I was up and then it crossed my mind.
Oh, no. That is where that's...
makes this whole story even sadder now, doesn't it?
For a moment, I was up and I did have that thought. A nice story for the Bombers tonight with their debutant, Tom Jock, ready to go, formerly of St. Kevin's. And we welcome to the show a 2008 Premiership player with the Mighty Hawks, who used to spend time with Tom at St. Kevin's when they were playing on the same team, Stevie Gillam. Hello, Stevie.
Good, thanks, Harry. Yourself, mate?
Great to speak to you. A lot to get through, especially with some of your former teammates playing the 300, retiring, and with Ruffy and Louie and Buddy. But firstly, Tom Jock, tell us about when you first laid eyes on the young man.
So I've been since AFL days playing my footy down at St. Kevin's Old Boys in the A-grade AMOs, and Jockey wandered in three seasons ago, and he's a pretty quiet kid, obviously Sudanese background, and could really early on could tell that he was really talented athlete and could play a bit of footy, but he was fairly quiet, so it took a little bit to get him going, but once we establish a bit of a relationship, it's been pretty special 3 years to watch his development, culminating in making his debut tonight.
Hey, Gil, it's one of the great parts of our game at the moment. I love seeing Alia play, and Magic Dawes' story is quite an incredible one. How much footy has he actually played? I mean, you said 3 years at St. Kevin's. Had he played right from a young age, or is he really brand new?
Yeah, before coming on tonight, I did a bit of background and I've only known Jockey the last 3 years, so it's a little bit hard, but putting the pieces together today, he was born in Sudan, and his mum moved, he and his two brothers and sisters, over. I think they went to the Middle East initially, and I think he was in Australia. He landed in Australia when he was about 12. So I think potentially he's been playing footy for under 10 years.
And Stephen, AFL's obviously what most junior players aspire to play, and incredibly privileged if they get the opportunity to do so. But due to the stress, it's not always as much fun as playing local footy or playing with your mates in the AMOs. How have you found the contrast between the two?
Mate, I absolutely love playing AMO footy, to be honest. I remember on a Friday night, I was watching the footy on TV and getting ready for my game the next day. And I was just tossing the ball up to myself, and my girlfriend at the time mentioned that you've fallen in love with playing footy again, and that's what it's like. Obviously, playing it as a career is a dream come true, but especially these days, it just takes so much sacrifice in all parts of your life, and it becomes a job and all those sorts of things. So, it is hugely different. I guess what I saw in Jockey was he was always going to do everything he possibly could if he ever got an opportunity. It doesn't always suit everyone that gets drafted into the AFL or finds their path into the AFL, but he's certainly someone who is very respectful and willing to learn and absorb off everyone around him so he can get better and realise his dream, really.
Stephen, was there one bit of play, one incident at a training session, one moment in a game, or was it just an accumulation of him learning over the course of his time at the lower levels that made you think that one day he could be doing what he's about to do tonight?
Yeah, I think early on, pre-season, he was able to show that he was an incredible athlete, incredible endurance, and he's actually quite quick for quite a tall boy. But then I guess, it was more, he was playing, he did 3 years in the under-18s, and I guess those couple of years that he was able to play senior footy with us, you could just see him mature and grow and get used to playing with men and believe in himself that he could compete, and actually, he was better than most of the guys running around. So once that sort of happened a couple of seasons ago, there was a bit of play. He was playing Xavier at Toorak Park, and he's taken off from halfback and had 5 or 6 bounces and put it through for a goal. And I think ever since then, people sort of started to take notice, and he probably grew in confidence after that as well, and believed that if he put his mind to it and he got an opportunity, he could potentially make it.
Stevie, just as we let you go, we appreciate your time. We're speaking to Premiership Hawk from 2008, Stephen Gillam, about the debutante tonight, Tom Jock. 2008 was really when Buddy just exploded on the scene. You won the Premiership together. He kicked 100-plus goals. He plays his 300 this weekend. Was he always a freak as a young man down at the Hawks, the Bud?
He was. As soon as I got there, I was pretty lucky. Not lucky. Lucky that he was on my team, but I had to play on him at training most of the time. So what he did on the field, he could do anytime at training, and so we were watching two freaks go at it with him and Cyril, so we were pretty lucky that the ball was down the other end most of the time when he was doing that magic. And it's been great this week, both with Jockey but also Bud, like just all their highlights that everyone puts up, all the different media outlets and social media, with all the goals that he's kicked. And special memories from that Premiership year, and that I was actually on the bench when he kicked 100 when everyone ran on. And no one's been able to do it again, and probably no one ever will again. So special memories, and special for him this week to play 300th.
And how have you let Stephen Gillam go? It's good to see ex-players doing well in their post-life. I bumped into Gilly recently. He's the Swiss Vitamins manager down there. Great company, doing great things. So just a nice little update for someone who enjoys their wellness, Howie. They're looking very, very fit too, Gilly.
This is a real contra operation, I would have thought. Gilly, we appreciate your time. Thanks for filling us in on Tom and the Big Bud.
No worries. Go well tonight, guys.
Yeah, indeed. And good luck to Tom Jock tonight. 190 centimetres, 74 kilos, a 22-year-old on debut.
Just watching him warm up before, Howie. Yep. Just a beautiful-looking athlete. The Sudanese guys, their athleticism is just extraordinary. And they are stunning, stunning-looking people. And to see another someone from a Sudanese background playing AFL football, I love it. I think it's one of the great stories that we have in the game at the moment.
Looking forward to it, Duke.
I reckon you're spot on. Hey, Damo, Jaden Stevenson, now what's happening here with this situation? I didn't quite understand it during the week.
Look, basically it comes down to a quirk of this round 23 fixturing is allowing him to play VFL match tomorrow. I say quirk because when he was suspended by the AFL, it was a 22-week ban, reduced down to 10 with 12 weeks of that suspended. And the difference here, and why there's some rubbery movement around him being able to play tomorrow, is because it was an integrity department decision to ban him for that length of time. It wasn't an AFL tribunal hearing, which would, had it been a 10-week ban under an AFL tribunal hearing, would have also incorporated the VFL / Sandful / Waffle component to that. So there's wiggle room. There was legal wiggle room. I'm not banging the desks about it, but I do think it's a legally manipulated rot as to how this has been allowed to happen. But I think there's bigger things in footy to really get upset about. But it's fortunate for him that he gets a game into his system before he's then going to be playing in a first week of finals in 2 weeks' time.
So when I read in the paper today that this was the situation that was now going to allow Collingwood to win the premiership, I probably don't need to get as carried away as that article.
It could have been tightened up, and clearly when they made the announcement that it was a serious breach of gambling protocols, and they did work backwards from 22 weeks. Again, Howie, let's face it, it was a convenient outcome, a negotiated outcome that allowed him to miss the 10 final home and away games so that his season was still alive, that he had some hope. And I had no issue with that. It's still a very, very serious offence. A sanction, Darcy, in that it's 10 weeks. He's missing 10 weeks.
Biggest sanction ever in the game's history. It was 22 weeks down to 10. So I think he's served his time, Howie. Good to see him back out there playing.
Darsh, you're a very experienced broadcaster. One of the hardest things you ever get asked to do is if you're surrounded by a group of athletes that you haven't got an interview teed up with, and they're international superstars, you're not quite sure who's who, and you get asked to whip down there and just grab an interview with a superstar of world sport.
Well, the heart rate gets up immediately, in this situation.
It does.
You start to sort of think, oh, I want to get this right, the terminology right, the names right. There's only one man for the job, though, and I suspect...
We'll get to him shortly. I've done this for a few years at the Grand Prix. I had a situation early doors when I approached Kimi Raikkonen to grab him for a quick interview in this situation, and Kimi turned around. Hang on. Kimi turned around, and I said, oh, Kimi, can I have a quick chat? And he said, I'm not Kimi, I'm Heikki Kovalainen.
Ooh, Heikki.
Which really flattened me on live national television. So I hope our man Tommy Brown doesn't have a similar situation.
They're known for their sense of humour in the Scandinavian part of the world.
Not traditionally, and when you misidentify one with the other, it doesn't go down well. Bob Jane Teemart, Tom Brown.
Kimi is very monotone, Howie, but
nice start.
As Collingwood run out, as we speak with the fireworks, there's fireworks boundary side because the NBA All-Stars who were in Melbourne last night, they forewent their media opportunities today. There's about six or seven players with their mobiles out. All capturing on their phones, going back to the States. The Pies running out. The crowd have all got their phones out as well. There's real star power here, boundary line side tonight. We're hoping to grab one of the players shortly. In fact, Donovan Mitchell, who's actually been following Ruffy's retirement and even tweeted on his first AFL match as recently as 3 hours ago. So let me grab one of the players and I'll leave the key question to you guys. That's how I like to operate.
Hang on, Tommy. So is anything organised or are you just going to wander into the US?
Nothing's organised, Howie. I've just dropped the old T Brown in the Triple M and just seeing how I'm going. I'm just riding with the wind and seeing how I'm going, Howie.
So Tommy, I think we stick with you. Tommy, I think we stick with you. A bit of roaming Tommy.
Well,
okay, we'll go over
I'd
to
love
the,
to hear the approach live on air.
Okay, yes. We'll go over to the media assistant, BT.
T Brown then.
Yeah, a bit of third person reference. Now, BT's got one interview locked in, so we're just going to try and follow that. Now
that's disappointing, Tommy, that you've been gazumped by BT.
No, we can't gazump Channel 7. That's not good for the employment status, Das.
Okay.
I'll just come around here and I'll speak to a very, very helpful Sarah Sharp, is one of the assistants assisting the team. Sarah, I must admit that Das and Howie and the guys are perplexed in the box about how I'm going to try and see up this interview. What do you think we should do?
I think you should just get in there soon.
Get in there.
That's good advice.
Good advice from Sarah. Tommy, you've been given a free rein right there.
Okay.
Go and muscle your way in, Tommy, please.
They just want me to wait until the bombers run out, Darce. How far off is that? Luke Tunnicliffe will have the answer.
Still
on
in
that.
The rooms there, Tommy. We can actually see them on the screen now, and they're still doing some warm-up drills, so you might have a few minutes to pad if you wait for that tactic.
Tommy.
Don't tell us about the pain. Just show us the baby, Tom.
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you what, guys. I'll go out on a limb and just duck in. That's the way to go, Tommy.
I think you've been trained well from BT. Look, he's getting a little bit of a pushback. Tommy, hustle your way in there.
I got the
likers on Tommy. He's looking. Tommy, you've got to push forward here, mate.
Yeah, because, mate, the Bombers are about to run out. We're on Triple M football here in Melbourne.
Oh, no. He's been got to.
Are you sure? Yeah, okay, I'll just get the cans on you here.
Yeah, and nice, Tommy.
Absolutely.
Here we go.
Tommy's lining up a live interview, unannounced. He's wandered into the Team USA huddle, which is courageous.
I love Star it from Tommy.
And he's securing us an interview with a basketball superstar out of the States, Tommy.
We'll grab their coach as well.
Oh, yeah.
Don, not the coach. Who are we talking to, you, Don? Welcome to Triple M Football. What are your impressions of the football here tonight? You're on the air with Luke Darcy, Howie, and the team, including Nathan Brown and Chris Judd, who's an AFL superstar.
What's going on, guys? Just trying to learn a new sport. I mean, I definitely don't know what's going on out here right now, but hopefully I'll learn by the end of the night.
And you had a big game against the Boomers last night. What was your take on the Australian team?
They're a great team. Physical, run their stuff, execute pretty well. Hung in there with us for a while, but we finally got it together a little bit. But it's going to be a tough game tomorrow.
Wonderful to speak to you down there. There was just a bit of breakup when Tom introduced you, so we're not actually sure of the name of the person we're speaking to because we can't see you from up here. Who are we speaking to?
Chris Middleton.
Ah, Chris. Wonderful to have you on. Now tell us, Chris. 55,000 there last night. Obviously massive crowds in the NBA, but not that big. How was it, Chris?
No, it was fun. Definitely never thought I'd be playing in front of that many people in the sport of basketball, but that was a fun night. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it.
And Chris, have you got any read on the game of Australian rules football? What are you expecting tonight? It's been known in the past as the game without rules. So what are you hoping for tonight?
A fun match. My old teammate Deli used to tell me about these games and how I should come check one out if I get the chance. So I'm here tonight to try to check it out and see what it's all about.
And what are your first impressions of the MCG? Holds 100,000 people.
Yeah, definitely never seen one like this before. I don't think our football stadiums might not be this big, but hopefully it'll be a fun night.
Milwaukee, a little bit different to Melbourne. How are things in the off-season looking for the Bucks, Chris? What can we expect in the upcoming NBA season from you and the Bucks?
Hopefully another great year. Fell short our goal by one round and win an NBA championship, so hopefully next year we get there and we win it.
And just finally, the man in front of you is one of the most influential media men in Melbourne. What are your impressions of Tom Brown, the bloke holding the microphone now, Chris?
Yeah, it seems like a sharp guy. Got a nice little fitted suit on. I might need to try to steal that from him. wish it was my size, but I'll let him have it for tonight.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the footy and best of luck in the upcoming two matches at Marvel Stadium.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, Tommy, beautifully done
good
down
effort.
There. Shake his hand, Tommy, as you are. Tommy, outstanding, mate. You've done a magnificent job there. How'd that go for you, Tommy?
Flying by the seat of my pants, Howie. I'm right across the Formula One scene. I'm pretty good with a lot of soccer players. NBA isn't my forte, but I can definitely track down an interview. So I was just playing to my strengths, Howie. Let you guys set up in terms of who we're interviewing. That's usually a key question, but it was pretty impromptu. Let me tell you, we've sort of breached about 44 media protocols for the American team, and they were good enough to set it up the AFL. So a good result in the end, hopefully.
I think a round of applause for Tommy because I put him under pressure, and he delivered in spades.
I must admit, the moment where he asked what his name was, that was a memorable moment for us here on Triple M Football.
It was uncomfortable.
We all felt a little bit uneasy when that happened.
Very nice very to speak to Chris Middleton, obviously a superstar with the Bucks. He's a big-time athlete. You know me, Dust. I like to look on the positives, and I read in the paper this guy's not here and that guy's not here, but these are some of the genuine superstar athletes of the NBA.
And even last night, 51,000 there, it's a basketball stadium erected inside a football stadium, so you sort of got to understand what you're getting into, don't you? That it wasn't going to be the intimate atmosphere of when you, if you're lucky enough to go and see an NBA game, so I thought it's worthwhile. I know there's people disappointed that demo, but...
Well, that's a natural position for a lot of people, isn't it, to be outraged about whatever it is, but I think there's a buy beware when you buy the tickets with the personnel that were being promoted around it. There's always a buy beware component, and obviously when you're playing a basketball match in a stadium that holds 50,000 people, you're going to have a pretty limited viewpoint from most seats.
I believe, Damo, and I might have the country wrong, but Ronaldo was promoted to play recently. I think it was in South Korea, sat on the bench the whole time. Right. There was discussions there about suing his football team and suing Ronaldo himself because he hadn't got out on the ground, which is quite extraordinary.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.